I come with love, and while I know my sweetheart appreciates gratitude, yet, I know also that love is a greater thing to him, and especially soulmate love, which in all the heavens and earth, I am the only one that can have it for him. Isn't this a glorious thing? No matter how many wives he may have, none of them can be his soulmate, and no matter how many beautiful and attractive spirits he may meet when he comes over, none of them can become his soulmate, only little me. And when he, the Paget Messages 1918, thinks, he will realize that we are eternally united for better or for worse. But there will be no worse. Well, you see, I am full of love tonight and can't help writing about it, and I know that you will not think I cannot write of anything else, for I have written of other things, but I must confess that I would rather write of love, except when I can tell him of the greater love, and thereby help him towards the acquirement of that love. I heard him speak of his brother, and I am glad that I can tell him that he is now not in the darkness that was his a short time ago. And how could he remain in the condition very long when it is realized what a mother that brother has in the spirit world, and with the love she gives to him, as she visits him and tries to show him the way to light and truth. She will have to come herself and write of her experience in inducing that son to believe in and trust her, and follow her advice, and she says she will do so, sometime. I am very happy and find that this love of which his father speaks is growing in my soul all the time, and with its increase my soulmate love is growing also. I will not write more now, as there are others who desire to write, and Helen says that I had better let the doctor imagine what the rest of my love may mean, for possibly his imagination can cause him to enjoy the love more than if I attempt to tell him of it. So with my love, I will say good night. And God bless him with a love that has no ending, and is never absent from him when he longs for it. Good night, Mary. January 22, 1918. I am here, Frederick, 3, the father. Let me write a line. I have heard what Bismarck said and I fully agree with him in his predictions as to the ending of the war, and while it is not in accord with what would be my desire as a German when on earth, yet it will prove to the great liberator of the Germans as individuals and as a nation. The government of men are intended by the powers that they have in thought the best interests of mankind to be the means by which the greatest good may be bestowed upon the people individually and as a whole, and the government which is founded upon the divine right of any one man or family to rule, is not best suited for either the progress of the nation or of the individuals that comprise that nation. Hence, I say that the ending of the German monarchy and dethronement of the 625 Kaiser and his family and all who make claim any right to govern men will work out for the people of Germany individually and as a nation the great good and justice and freedom to which all the children of God on earth are entitled. Of course, when I lived on earth I did not look on these things from the viewpoint that I now see is the only correct one to assume. I was a monarch and believed in the divine obligations of the people to be ruled, and hence were I on earth now I might believe that the Empire of Germany should be maintained under all circumstances. Now I am a spirit and realize the hollowness and untruth of all such ideas. In sight of God and in the workings of his unchangeable laws, no one man is by birth or nation better and entitled to any greater rights than any other man, and every emperor and king and nobleman of earth will, when he comes to the spirit life, sooner or later realize this fact, and in the case of some the conviction will come, as it may be said, with a vengeance. It will do no good to write of the great misery and distress that now exists in Germany and of how the cruel masters of the people are compelling them to submit to all this misery, for my writing would not lessen this condition one iota. But I will say that the end of all this horrible nightmare is in sight, and peace and happiness will come to the people. Though in the meantime many of these people will have become spirits, and among them will be the Kaiser and a many of his advisers and sustainers in his unholy ambitions. As a human father it would be distressing for me to write in this way, because then I would be controlled by my natural affections and solicitation for my children, but having become a spirit with enlarged and more truthful view of the relationship of mortals and of the importance of each individual soul, while I may still maintain the affection for my children, yet I can see and know that the greatest good to the people of Germany will come when the ruler of the empire shall cease. Suffering and death must follow, but out of them will rise peace and happiness and a deeper feeling of the people in their relationship to God. I will only say further, that the end is here. Yes, very soon, and the great sacrifice of men and peace and things material will cease. I will not write more. Good night, your friend, Frederick, the father of the wounded nation, father of William II, the last Kaiser. The Paget Messages, 1918, January 27, 1918. I am here, Elias. I have not written you for a long time, and tonight I desire to say a few words, and those in reference to your work and the attitude that you have assumed towards it. It has been a long time since you have received any formal messages from the high spirits, and this loss of time means more to the accomplishment of the design to inform the world of the spiritual truths that are so important to the people, than you probably realize. As has been told you more than once, this delay has been caused by your condition of apparent indifference and failure to place yourself in the condition of soul that is necessary to enable the spirits to make the required rapport. You should think more seriously of what this means, and how much on you rests this great responsibility, and of the further fact that without your cooperation we cannot make the rapport, and, as a consequence, these messages cannot be delivered. I knows that in a way, I may say intellectually, you are willing and ready, as you think, to receive these messages, and that if you are not in condition you don't exactly understand the reason, and do not know how to remedy the difficulty. But in all this you are mistaken, for it is not merely a matter of having the inclination and intellectual assent to do the work, but, further, the proper condition of your soul's longings is required, and this will not come to you by a mere acquiescence and willingness to do the work, but an active exercise of the soul's longings is called for, and you must take the effort to obtain these longings, so that your soul may receive more of the divine love. In messages, such as I speak of, the divine love in the soul is the important and vital factor in your condition. You must make greater efforts to get these longings and this love, so that there will come to you the soul development that will enable the higher spirits to make the rapport. Well, there is only one way in which you can obtain this development, and that is by turning your thoughts to the Father and His love until they shall develop into deep, sincere longings of the soul. And with these longings you should pray with all the earnestness of your nature for the inflowing of this love. If you will do this, the longings will come and also the love, and then you will find that your desires will go out to the spirits for communication with them. This is the only way in which you can overcome the difficulties that now prevent the 626 writings. I hope you will think of what I have written, and do as I advise. I have a message that I desire very much to communicate, and besides me there are numbers of other spirits with similar desires. The most important messages to be delivered are those of the Master, and he is anxious to write. I will not write more now. Good night, and God bless you, your brother in Christ, Elias. I am here, John. No, I cannot write tonight as I expected, and am disappointed that you are not in condition for me to make the rapport. It seems that you are not inclined to receive my messages as you were at one time, although you say that you are ready to receive the writings. But your mere intellectual willingness is not sufficient, for my messages are those which do not come from the human intellect, but from the intellect of the soul, and in order that they may be received it is necessary that your soul shall be, in some degree, in harmony with mine. I could easily write you of things of the material or even of the spirit heavens, but it is impossible for me to use your brain to convey these spiritual soul truths unless your soul is developed into a harmony with mine. To explain this was the object of my unfinished message, and as I desired to explain the laws controlling the communication and rapport of the celestial spirits with the mortal, and your soul not having the required condition, I was unable to finish my message. I have written you before on this subject, and all that I can say now is, think of the importance of this matter and the responsibility resting upon you. Remember the advice of Elias, and follow it. As soon as you are in condition I will come and write. Good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Helen. Well, dear, I see that you are not in condition to write much tonight, and I am sorry for it as I desired very much to write. I have heard what Elias and John said and can only join with them in the advice that they gave. I do so hope that you will follow that advice and soon get in condition that will enable the communications to be received. I know that you do not feel like your usual self, and you don't exactly understand the reason, but if you will think of what they told you, you will. The Paget messages 1918, soon realize the cause and will be able to get rid of it. Think of these things and keep up your courage and have faith in the future and what we have told and promised you. I will not write more now. Love me and believe that I love you and am with you so very much trying to help you. Good night. Your own true, loving, Helen. January 29, 1918. I am here, James. I will write only a few lines tonight, as conditions are not very good, for you are tired and have been working too much to permit us to make a very close rapport. I want to say that today I have been with you and my charge, Dr. Stone, a part of the time, and heard your conversation, and was pleased to hear your conversation, and was pleased to hear you both express yourselves so strongly with reference to the truths that you have received, and you will not be disappointed when the time comes for belief to become an experience. The truths are not to be refuted by any preaching or teachings, or any reference to the Bible that are contrary to these truths. And I here declare to you that the only way to the celestial spheres is by the way of the new birth, as it has been explained to you. I also desire to encourage the mortal to whom I have attached myself especially, Dr. Stone, and assure him that I am with him very often and impress him with thoughts that it will make him realize more and more that only the truth that he has knowledge of will fit him for the work that is before him to perform, and that he must endeavor to increase his faith so that his beliefs will become things of real substance, for they are real, and when he gets in that condition and attempts his work, what will appear real to him will, in fact, be real, and so real that other mortals will know the benefits that arise from their reality. I will not write more now. So with my love, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, James Apostle of Jesus. I am here, Mary Kennedy. Well, my dear, I mean Leslie. You may think that I am a simple little English girl without having any knowledge of what the wise men of earth call psychology. Yet I know more about the soul than the scientist as he is known on earth, for I know that my soul is 627, immortal, and not only that, but the reason why it is so. How small a thing is the human mind, even of the most learned, as compared to the mind of a spirit who has received the great love of the Father in his soul, and realizes that it is a part of the very essence of the Father's being. I know that you would rather have your Mary be an angel of the celestial heavens than to be one of the wise in the spiritual planes. Well, dear, this is all interesting to us from a certain viewpoint, but really not so interesting as the great love that binds us so closely together. A knowledge of the soul, as I know it, is very vital, but a knowledge of what makes the soul at one in perfection with its true soulmate is equally, if not more, important. How poor are those spirits who are investigating the subject of the soul in a mere intellectual way as compared with those who know what the soul is, without having to investigate with the mind. And when love is known and realized, how rich is the spirit who possesses and realizes the truth of the reality of that love. Proof comes without seeking proof, and speculation is a thing unnecessary and unknown. Tonight I am very happy that I can write to you, and tell you what you already know. But to tell you is a joy, for when I do so, you must say, "Sweetheart, I love you" in return, and then you see I am happy in giving and receiving. If it were not so late, I would write you a long letter, but the writer tells me that he must not write more tonight. So believe that I love you with all my heart, and trust in my efforts to help and comfort you, and above all pray more to the Father for his love, and have faith that it will be bestowed upon you. Good night. Dear heart, your own loving, Mary. February 1, 1918. I am here, Auguste Comte. I am not one of those spirits who come to you and prate about the new birth and the divine love and the celestial spheres, but am simply a spirit who believes what can be known from observation and the exercise of the reasoning faculties. I have been in spirit life for a great many years and am in a sphere of light and have much happiness and enjoy the life of an investigator of truth. When on earth I was known as a free thinker and by some as an agnostic and consequently was not very popular, except among a number who, the Paget Messages 1918, thought as I did, and who were what was considered followers of me in my beliefs and doctrines as regards the purposes of man's creation and his functions and duties on earth. I believed and taught that the great duty and object of his creation were the exercise of good deeds and the offering of the greatest help to humanity in its living the life on earth. That humanitarianism was the great and vital religion of man on earth, and the only God to be worshipped was the God of human kindness and help, and that any and all other gods were the mere creatures of superstition and without real existence and of no benefit to mankind. There were a number of persons who believed and lived in that belief and endeavored to have it guide and control them in their course of living just as I did, and there are numbers on earth who believe and make such belief their religion. I do not dispute the future existence of the soul, or that man should have a continuous progression during eternity, and finally reach a condition of happiness and perfection that would render unnecessary the application of the doctrines of humanitarianism that was so necessary while mortals. And I have found since coming to the spirit world that my beliefs and teachings are filled with truth and have resulted in great benefit to me and to numbers of others who carried out to the best of their ability the golden rule of doing unto others as they would have others do unto them. Many of my associates of life are with me here, and we have a comparatively joyous congregation of souls engaged in the work of helping spirits who come to the spirit world not knowing their destiny, or what is before them in the way of living or thinking. When I came to this world, I entered the plains of darkness and some suffering, and had to work with all the efforts of my mind to make progress out of that condition, by the exercise of thoughts of benevolence and the doing of good to those spirits whom I found that I could help. My state of freedom from those things that partook of sin was what determined my progress, and for a long time I made very slow advancement towards the higher planes of thought and condition of purity. But I realized that within me was that which was better than I had known or realized while on earth, and that if I should get rid of those things which kept that better part of me from developing, I would progress, and so I struggled to get rid of these things and have myself become the master of the situation. 628. I found that these contaminating things, which were really the creations of my mortal animal desires and appetites, were not a legitimate part of myself, and that I was not a true philosopher by permitting them to linger with me, and for, to my deception, a part of myself, the undesirable part, and so I fought to banish them from my knowledge and recollections, and as I succeeded in these efforts I found that I was advancing in light and truth and in harmony with what was pure and good. I did not ask the help of any mediator to rescue me from my condition of darkness in some mysterious way, or pray to God to take me from my surroundings by means of some omnipotent power that he might exercise in my behalf. I was helped by other spirits who had advanced higher than I, but that help consisted of their advice and the encouragement that came to me when I perceived by their bright appearances and happier conditions that it was possible for me to advance also, as they assured me that they had been in my condition, and that by good thoughts and their efforts to help others, they had been enabled to forget and throw aside those things that caused their state of darkness and suffering. Yes, their advice and influence helped me very much to help myself. I realize the fact that, notwithstanding the help of others, upon myself principally depended the success of effort and the success of advancement. So, as a spirit who has had the experience that I have related, I would advise all men to examine themselves and learn what is the cause of their condition of darkness and unhappiness, and then seek the means of ridding themselves of this cause, and if they will honestly make the effort they will succeed and become better and happier men. There is no question that the temptations of the animal appetites and desires to accumulate those things that bring to them selfishness and greed and the want of charity and human sympathy, will prevent them from progressing in the development of the better part of themselves and keep it stagnant and retard its advancement, and men should know this and bend all their energies to curb these appetites and replace these desires with desires to help and serve their fellow men, and let their sympathy and love go out in active works of good to their brothers, for all men are brothers, even in the mortal life though to many it may not be apparent, but in the spirit life it comes as a truth to all, for as each spirit becomes developed in his better part, spirits as a whole, the Paget Messages 1918, become developed, and a more universal happiness ensues. Well, I have written a long time tonight, and as this is the first time that I have ever tried to communicate to a mortal, I am some little tired, as you mortals say, and will stop. When on earth I was known as Auguste Comte and lived in France. I have no name here and need none. Well, I have heard what you said and am a little surprised to hear you make the assertion that you do, but I have no pride of superior or exclusive knowledge, and while I doubt that you can demonstrate what you say, yet I am willing to have you make the experiment, and will enter it with an open and unprejudiced mind, and only hope that you may be able to show me a way better than the one I have pursued. I have never seen or conversed with spirits of the celestial heavens, though I have been informed that there are such, but as, when on earth, I did not believe in ghosts, so here, I have not believed in these celestial spirits, and thought that they were merely creations of the distorted imaginations of the spirits who told me of the existence of these celestial beings. You must not be surprised when I ascribe to some of the spirits distorted imaginations, for there are many such spirits just as there are mortals on earth with distorted imaginations. The fact of being in the body does not confine distorted imaginations and diseased minds to the earth life only. Yes, I am ready to meet your celestial spirit. There comes to me a beautiful, bright spirit, such as I have never seen before, who says that he has answered your call and is ready to perform the work of love of showing me the easier and better way to development, and it depends on me whether I will learn that way or not, and if I am willing, he will teach me. Well, I am surprised, I confess. I will go with him and learn all that he can teach me. I will come again. Good night, Auguste Comte. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I had some difficulty because of spirits who wished and tried to write, but White Eagle succeeded in inducing them to desist, and I then took control. I am glad that you are feeling better tonight, and I was expecting that John would write, but conditions are not just favorable and he did not stay. You must make the effort to get in condition, so that he can make the rapport as he desires so much to finish his message. 629. The spirit who wrote you I never saw before, but he appeared to be a very bright and sincere spirit and desirous of learning anything possible to learn. He has no soul development in the divine love, and I know that he will be interested in what shall be told him. He went with Professor Salyards and was much impressed at the appearance of the professor and his kindly invitation to go with him. I hope that he may learn the way. I will not write more tonight. So, sweetheart, say good night, Helen. I am here, Jesus. Well, my brother, I see that you are in much better condition tonight than you have been for some time past, and I desire to tell you that it is due to the facts that you have turned your thoughts more to spiritual things, and have prayed more to the Father. If you will continue to do these things, you will soon be in that condition of soul where I can make the necessary rapport with you in order to deliver my messages. I have been very much disappointed in not being able to deliver my messages of the higher truths as I intended, and have felt that we have lost much valuable time in pursuing our work, and it is true, but now I hope that we will not have to delay longer our communications. And we will not. If you will take my advice and in that way try to remedy the difficulties that beset us. I know that you are interested in the work, and intellectually desire to receive the messages, but this, as I have told you, is not sufficient. You must get in that condition of soul development that will bring you in rapport with me as I come to you for the purpose of writing these higher truths. It has been explained to you that a particular quality of rapport is required in order that we may be able to get in that condition of harmony that will enable us to use your brain and hand so that the messages may be delivered. So for the next few days try to have your soul opened up to the inflowing of the love so that the development may come to you. I have many messages to write before the book will be completed, and so have many other spirits who are engaged in the work. Pray, and let all the longings of your soul go to the Father, and you will realize the response that will fit you for the work. With my love I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. February 22, 1918, The Paget Messages 1918. I am here, Helen. You have been happy tonight, for I was with you and could see and feel your happiness. Oh, it was grand to have such love as you gave me, and to let me know that your heart was all mine. Why can't we often have such nights? I was with you all the time, and when the rosary was played I showed myself to you as you imagined you saw me. I was actually there in the position that you saw me in, with my heart and eyes full of love for you, and pointing to the higher sphere whence came the stream of light that you saw. It was the silver stream of love that was flowing down upon us and showing us that in that happy sphere was all love and happiness. What you imagined you saw was an actual vision in which I was very much present and alive. So you see, I have kept my promise to let you see me, and I did it in a way that I know would make you happy, and at the same time realize what a happy soulmate you have, and how love has made her beautiful. So now I know that you will believe that I am with you and love you, and am waiting for you to come over, and go with me to the sphere where love and joy reign supreme. Oh, my Ned, I am so happy tonight in the knowledge that at last you have seen me as I am, and as I will appear to you when you come over. So, sweetheart, we will not write more tonight, for it would seem to me that to write of other things after one wonderful coming together and enjoying our great happiness would be a sacrilege. And so in the love which I know you have for me and which you know I have for you, I will say with all my soul, be my own Ned forever as you are tonight, and I shall be satisfied and happy. Your own true and loving, Helen. February 23, 1918. I am here, Jesus. I see that you are in good condition tonight, and that I am able to make a rapport with you. I was with you at the meeting tonight and saw the workings of your mind and the pity, as it were, that you had for the preacher, Reverend Billy Sunday, because of his want of knowledge of what the judgment is that comes to all men after death. A judgment that is certain and exact, but not one pronounced upon man by God, as the preacher proclaimed. I was trying to impress you in your thoughts, and you felt the influence of my suggestions and realized that you did not fear the judgment, or rather its results, because you know the way in 630. Which the judgment for you can have no terrors, or no eternity of condemnation. I wished as you did that the preacher might know the truth and then proclaim it to his hearers, and in this manner show them that the judgment is a certainty that cannot be escaped from, and that its sentences are not for an eternity of duration. He is an earnest man in his beliefs, and teaches just as he believes, and the pity is that he does not know the truth. But, nevertheless, he is doing good to those who hear him, for many of them are caused to think of things spiritual, and of the future, as well as of the present, who otherwise might and would neglect these important things that will determine the kind of judgment that they will have to undergo, and I am glad that he is so preaching and doing a work that in many instances will lead men to meditate upon their spiritual condition, and ultimately lead them to seek for the love of the Father, which they may obtain by their longings, though their beliefs may be erroneous as to how this love may be obtained. Men are constituted with a mind and a soul, each having its own perceptions and ability to comprehend the truth, and sometimes it happens that the perceptions of the soul will enable them to see and reach out for this love, while they may be wholly blind in their mind perceptions, and even these latter perceptions may be in conflict with the operations of the perceptions of the soul. Until the truths that I and the other spirits are revealing to you shall become known to the world, there will be nothing in existence or in the knowledge of men that can supply the place of these truths so much as the beliefs that have been and are being taught by the teachings of the Bible, for in it are many truths, especially those that show men the way to attain to moral perfection, and that, as you know, was one of the objects of my teachings when on earth, but not the great object of my mission. Nevertheless, the man who learns and applies these moral truths to his daily life and conduct comes nearer to the enjoyment of that harmony that man must obtain in order to get into a unison with God's laws, that is necessary to his regeneration and to his becoming the perfect man. And besides, as he, I mean the mortal, progresses in this regeneration, he will find it easier for him to learn by his soul perceptions the great truth of the transformation of the soul through the new birth. I approve of the efforts of this preacher to bring men to a realization of their relationship to God, even though he has many erroneous beliefs, and says many things that are contrary to the truth, the Paget Messages 1918, and not in accord with the true relationship of man to God. I will write you soon upon this matter of the judgment, and what it means and the variety of its operations. Tonight, I will not write longer, for I think it best to not draw upon you too much at this renewed conjunction of rapport with your condition. I have been with you very often of late, and tried to influence you with my love and suggestions, and I must tell you that you have progressed much in your soul development and nearness to the Father's love.